Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Bob said something that really stuck in my head. And I know you're delighted after all of our years together that I paid attention to something that you said and retained it. But here's what it is.
I'm shocked.
Bob said that when he was a kid, no one ever came to stay at their house. And I think that's true for a lot of us. I think there's a whole two, possibly three generations of people who never entertained overnight guests until they were adults themselves.
We always have an odd one in the crowd.
So it's kind of odd.
Decidedly odd.
Doesn't that strike you as a little bit odd?
No, that doesn't strike me as a little bit odd.
It's the Bob and Sherry Oddcast, the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, or shouldn't do on the regular show. Now, here's the Oddcast.
So we're getting right on top of the holidays of Christmas, and Bob's having both of his daughters and their husbands and children and Mary's kids and all for Christmas. And they're like frantically working to, you know, fix up the guest room and patch holes in the drywall and all of that. And Bob was saying like, that when he was a kid, nobody ever slept over. And I know that you never had friends for a sleepover, but it never really occurred to me until you said that, that you also never had cousins, aunts, uncles, anybody come, did you?
No, I can go back as far as when my parents had what we used to call the nice house, which actually had two bedrooms and one bath, a half bath, and a little den that I guess somebody could sleep in. It was a nice house. It wasn't a big house, but it was a nice house. I don't remember one time anyone staying overnight in our house. I know I never had friends who stayed over. And once, you know, we lost everything, nobody was, I can't remember anybody coming over because the houses kept getting, you know, smaller and smaller. At one point there was, you know, four of us living in 800 square feet, I guess. And with two teenagers, that's kind of tight. The idea of one of my friends staying over is, it was ludicrous. And yet I would see friends, you know, who had, and they weren't living in mansions, but they would have their friends stay over. And I heard about people who had, oh, we got our out of town cousins are in for the weekend. And it was the most exotic thing to me.
So as I'm sitting here thinking about it, are you telling me that in your entire childhood, birth to 18, you never had like a cousin's sleepover with all the aunts and uncles and grandparents, and that never happened for you?
No. I mean, I kid about Shay Shay being on the cold side, and my grandfather, I remember looking up at him and him looking down at me and walking right by. He was not a very warm man. And my other grandfather, who I heard was great, but died very young. No, we did not. My father didn't want to be bothered with it. He liked the idea that I had friends. He liked that idea. And sometimes after a couple of Ballantines, well, after a six pack of Ballantine, he would say, let me tell you something. You make friends with a lot of people and try to make sure they have money. You know, see if you can get some with money, because that's not going to hurt you down the road. But I bring somebody over and it's, you know, I get this stink eye. What is this person doing in our home?
I wonder what the issue is, because there are people who feel like, I don't want anyone to come into my house and see like my mess. If the house isn't absolutely perfect and everything isn't really nice, then I don't want anyone to see it. And then there are other people that just throw their doors open and they say stuff like, oh, be careful sitting on that chair. You'll get covered in dog hair. And
yeah, exactly.
Okay, the bathroom's down the hall, but definitely turn the light on or you'll trip over the boxes. I love those people.
I do too.
Because those people are living their lives like in the moment. They're not living, you know, oh, what will people say? What will people think? If it isn't perfect, I can't do it at all. I wonder what your dad's deal was. Because I don't think it was that, do you?
No, I think it was embarrassment. I think it was, I mean, I don't know what the deal, when he had the good house, I don't know what his deal was there. Maybe it was, there wasn't a formal guest room, you know. Maybe that was it. The house wasn't that big. It was really nice, though. But once we went broke, it was, my brother used to call it, the Berlin Wall went up, because not only were people not coming over, we were not socializing with cousins. I think once he went broke, I don't recall ever seeing my uncle the rest of my life.
He was just so embarrassed.
I think that was it. Yeah.
By what he perceived as a failure, as opposed to, like, what's the great Peter Gabriel song? He duets with Kate Bush, Don't Give Up, right? Like, things, you can get knocked backward and everything can look like it's gone to hell, but don't give up. Don't give up. And don't feel ashamed, like it, like it's a reflection on who you are as a human being. Your circumstances are not who you are. They're just your circumstances. But I think for men of your dad's generation, they couldn't separate themselves from their circumstances.
I do think men more than women also suffer from that. Even more contemporary men who perhaps are struggling and don't have that much, and they have a brother who's done really, really well, they have a problem that way. We'll continue with this. Maybe that's your situation too. Nobody ever stayed at your house?
Hi, I'm Dr. Kim, the parentologist. As a wife, mom, therapist, and all-around juggler like most of you, I lead a hectic life, and sometimes that means indulging in foods on the go that my stomach doesn't always agree with. Thankfully, Pepto-Bismol provides me fast and effective relief for all kinds of upset stomachs. Having a little too many guilty pleasures at a family barbecue or birthday celebration may lead to indigestion or heartburn, so I always keep Pepto on hand to get fast relief when I need it the most. Pepto-Bismol, use as directed and keep out of reach of children.
We're talking about growing up where people were not either allowed to spend the night in your house or, in some cases, not even, you know, come over to your house. I threw a party, a big, big party with about 30 people several years ago. And one of the party invitees said, can I bring over my boyfriend? And I said, sure. Yeah, we don't know him, but yeah, bring him over. And it was a gay couple. The guy went into our bathroom, and evidently when we bought the house, we didn't recognize it, but one of the toilet seats was a little small for the actual toilet. The guy took a picture of it and said, and posted it on Facebook and said, some people are not very handy. Ha, ha, ha. And in our current house, we've sold that house. There was a split in one of the toilets seats. And I flashed back to that and I said, Mary, we've got people coming. I'm replacing this. And I looked at the driveway. And you know how your driveway, if you have a cement driveway, can become filthy because of debris, leaves, acorns. I looked at it and I went, this has probably never been cleaned. We need to clean the driveway. And one thing led to another. And all of a sudden, my wife is repainting guest rooms and we're buying a new bed because the bed in there was, you know, a terrible bed. We tried to keep it up so that people would be comfortable. When you come from a situation like you and I are talking about, and you've done okay, you never want to be perceived that way again.
Well, you don't, it's not even that you don't want to be perceived that way. It's you don't want to ever go back to that.
Right. That's what I mean.
Your own reality. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think, like, when I think about how we came up, no phone, no food in the refrigerator, no heat. I don't want to go back to that, not because I don't want to be perceived that way, but because I'm uncomfortable. It is miserable to be cold and hungry. It is awful.
Well,
I can't even imagine. Like, I can't even imagine what it was like for my mom to not be able to do better for her children. So, like, I don't really care what people's perceptions are. I don't want to go back to that because it's a terrible way to live. But I know what you're saying. And you do get, like, your house becomes kind of invisible to you.
Exactly.
You know, like, it's your stuff. It's your house. And then suddenly, especially when you're having people come to stay, it's one thing if they're just coming for a few hours.
Right.
Because you can, like, take everything that's in the main room of the house and shove it into your bedroom for a few hours.
Right, right.
But when
exactly.
People are coming to stay, you have to have pillows for them. There's just so much, unless it's family.
You really get the cold water in your face if all of a sudden you're with someone, you're linked with someone, maybe you're married to that person, and they come from a lot more. Like with my previous marriage, her parents were very successful. And I can remember staying over in their home, and the guest room was beautiful. The pillows were fantastic. The house was big. And we had Thanksgiving there. And I was watching her mother get ready for Thanksgiving. And she had one of these big servers in the formal dining room. And the silverware was unbelievable. And it was really over the top. I went looking at all of the baskets that she had. And she had little notes in the baskets for Thanksgiving, like oranges will go here, bread will go here. Now, it was a bread basket, so I was guessing probably I could have figured that out alone. But she was that focused, and the tree was perfect, and there was laughter in the house. And I thought to myself, wow, what a difference. This, I don't think I can live quite like they do, but this is more of what I want to do. This is more of who I want to be. I want to step my family up a few notches. And I think since then, I've been more sensitive to, you know, how people perceive where they're staying when they're staying at my house. What is worse than staying at somebody's house and they're not really prepared for you? Have you ever stayed on like a lumpy couch? And I'm not talking about as a kid. I'm talking about as an adult that they put you on the lumpy couch and you're going, what is this? Why am I here? Why am I on this? I won't sleep all night long. I never wanted that. And so we have gone nuts with the holidays coming up, getting this house ready finally.
The only people that really, well, I always have people staying with me, as you know, but they're not people that I worry about impressing.
Right,
it's either
right.
My kids' friends or one of my besties or like a family member. Now, if my mother announced that she was coming for a visit,
how would that change?
I might have to, have you heard the expression, kill it with fire? I think I might have to burn my house to the ground and start.
Why, your house is fantastic.
But my mom, you don't understand. Like, my mom is the opposite of a hoarder. There should be a word for what my mom is. My mom has such a horror of having stuff and clutter and dust and mess that she got rid of everything.
She's a minimalist then. Minimalist, is that what you're saying?
Well, but she's not, that's the thing. She's not a minimalist. Like, her taste is not minimal. You know, like, she doesn't, it's not like she has like some stark, you know, modernist sensibility. She's the opposite of a hoarder. She is so afraid that she might die and then people would come in and they would find clutter. That is not the same thing as being a minimalist. That's another thing altogether that needs a name. In fact, when Kevin and I were out there visiting her this summer, she said, Kevin had such a good time on this trip. She said to him, Kevin, honey, my concern is that I will die and in this desert heat, I will mummify. And I do not want people coming in and looking at my mummified remains. And there was kind of a pause. And then Kevin said, well, that's a new one, Fran. I have to give you that. that is a new.
Does she go for months at a time with no one contacting her?
Oh, no.
If you tried to call her and, you know, and there was no answer for like a week, you'd send somebody over there, right?
Yeah, I would do a welfare check. My mom has a busy and engaged life, but this is not rational. Like, a lot of your stuff is not rational. None of us are all rational all the time. It has the opposite of hoarding. And this is a real legitimate concern for her. Every time I go to visit her, there's less in the house. She donated all of her books. She donated almost all of her clothes. She's down to the most precious, nostalgic keepsakes and objects. I think that if she could cup her hands and drink hot coffee out of them, she'd give away her mugs. Okay? Like, this is not in any way quote unquote normal. This is the opposite of hoarding. This is the extreme opposite.
That's so interesting. I've never heard of a person quite like that. That didn't have like a, you know, some people just have lifestyles. I'm not going to pollute the planet, so I'm going to use three plates and three coffee cups the rest of my life. You know, there are people like that.
That's not it. I've tried to get to the bottom of it. So my mom grew up in a house that was spotless 100% of the time in every room, including rooms that nobody really used once her siblings grew up. So part of that is that's just where she comes from. But if she came to visit, there is no way that I could be ready for her to visit with a weekend. I need to get college hunks hauling junk and a dumpster and a painter and I don't even know what all. Somebody to come in and smudge the house with sage. I need to, 90% of my belongings need to go, or my mom would not be able to sleep. She'd have to go to a hotel. She can't handle it. Yeah.
Because that's really not your problem. That's hers, of course.
But, you know, you want people to be comfortable.
You do. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that one of the reasons I'm doing all of this, and we're putting out a new deck and, you know, cleaning the driveway, the new garage door, blah, blah, blah. I don't want my kid. They don't visit all that often at my house. I don't want them pulling up and going, okay, we're at dad's. It's only going to be 2 days. And I tell you what, look at that door. That door it's dirty. Yeah, I want them to come in. I want them to say to themselves, hey, he's doing pretty good. He's doing great. This place is, it's comfortable. It's fun. Look at the room I'm staying in. Is this a new bed? You know, that's really what I want. And I think it's driven a lot because of my looking back on the way I grew up. And I reject that.
I think so too. But like, you know, Landon has a, two toddlers. To notice your door being dirty is not even like it's not even possible. It is scientifically impossible for Landon.
Yeah, that's true.
To pay attention. And Allie has never cared about any of that stuff. Like you're doing this for them, but the person you're really doing this for is you. And that's okay because you're a person too. Like sometimes Kevin will tell me, I don't know why you're going to all this trouble, blah, blah, blah. You know, why don't we just eat a piece of bologna with our hands? Okay, we could do that. You're right. We could just eat a piece of bologna with our hands in our underpants while staring at the TV. But it gives me so much pleasure to like cook holiday meals and feed people. Yeah. That yes, I am doing this for other people. I am wearing myself out for other people. But I'm mostly wearing myself out for myself. And I think it's important to be honest about that. Then you don't suffer from martyrdom. Oh, I do so much for you people. And no one appreciates me. Don't you mop your bushes for spider webs? I mopped the bushes for spider webs and cleaned the doors and redid the guest room. And none of you said anything. I did all of this for you and I get nothing. The minute you admit that you're doing it for you, that whole martyrdom piece goes away.
Yeah, I am doing it for me and Mary's doing it for her. But there's also something about knowing that your guests are going to be sleeping in a nice bed with nice sheets. You know, I remember my first house. I hadn't thought about this in a while. My first house. I barely could afford, and it was not expensive. It was an old place. The furnace caught on fire one day. I mean, I was working on it slowly. My parents came to visit, and they were on their way to Florida. Somehow they got the money to spend about a week in Florida, and they were taking my sister and my brother, and they were going to stop off. My place was on the way. And I had a bed in a bag bedroom for myself. and an okay bed from my first marriage, and it looked okay to me. The so-called guest room next door had a mattress that was on box springs on the floor, and it had questionable bedding, and I didn't even see it because I was 25 years old, and I was just, you know, I wanted to meet girls, and I wanted to do good in radio and all this and that. It never occurred to me that the reading lamp next to it was higher than the bed. You know, it was just, that's all I had. But when they left, I could sense that it was an uncomfortable night with my brother and sister sleeping on blankets on the floor and my parents on a bed that wasn't even on, you know.
I bet they didn't say anything, though.
They didn't, no. But I really felt like a loser, and I did something about it. I went out and got some weekend gigs to, you know, make the place look better. But I didn't want to live that way anymore. You know, I just looked back on my own childhood, and I just thought, that was really pretty sucko that I never had anybody over, or that
it
you know,
is. That makes me
never
sad.
Came over. Yeah,
that makes me sad. I learned an important life lesson. I had two major life lessons in the past couple of years. One of them was just this past Thanksgiving when we had finished dinner and the girls stood up to clear the table. And I was like, you guys, wait. Like, I spent all day, 2 days actually cooking this, and I don't even really like have any appetite. I just want to sit and enjoy this time with you and talk. I miss that from my childhood. And they were like, oh, well, why didn't you say something? And they sat back down, and we ended up sitting around the table for the next 3 hours and talking and telling stories. And I was so, so, so happy. And it was a perfect Thanksgiving. And
that's
here's what
beautiful.
I learned.
Beautiful.
No, but here's what I learned. Last year, when everybody raced away from the table and I was sad and disappointed and it hurt my feelings a little bit, I didn't say a word. And I held on to it. And I felt sad about it. And as I was getting ready for Thanksgiving 2022, I reflected back on how disappointed I was with Thanksgiving 2021. And nobody could read my mind. I had to say, hey, can we do this? Because this means a lot to me. And we did it, right? And I had a beautiful holiday. And I've reflected a lot on that. Like, look at you, girl, asking for something that you want and something that you need and something that will require other people to alter their behavior. And you went ahead and did that, and it worked out okay. You're allowed to ask for things. You're allowed to want things. You're not on this earth to make everybody else's comfort and satisfaction and dreams come true, okay? So that was my one big lesson. And then the other big lesson I've learned, and this one applies to where you are. So my bonus daughter, Maggie, is married to like one of my favorite people in this whole wide world. His name is Alan. I love him. Alan's mom, shortly before the wedding, came by the house to visit and so that I could meet her before the rehearsal. And I cleaned this house top to bottom because I'm meeting Alan's mom and dad. And right. I want to make a good impression. I don't want them to think their son is marrying into, you know, some of whatever. Right. I mean, I cleaned this house. I dusted in places no one can see. I mean, it was like the deepest, hardest Sicilian housewife clean you could ever have. And so Alicia, that's Alan's mom, she says, well, oh my gosh, I just love your house. Will you show me around? And so I'm like, sure. So this is, you know, the kitchen and there's our bedroom. And over here is Kevin built me these bookcases. And this is, you know, like my little home office where I work. And she's looking around. She goes, wow, this is just so cozy. Oh, looks like your dog left you a Tootsie Roll. Because Sam, while I was giving Alicia the tour, Sam yeah. crept into the room and took a big festive welcome to our house shit. And all of my cleaning and all of my effort and all of my attention resulted in this woman trying not to step in a pile of dog poop. And so here was my lesson. Calm down. Because no matter what you do, you cannot control it. And one of these animals is going to produce some waste or barf. And it's going to look like no matter how much you protest, this is just how you live. Like Alicia went back home to where she lives. She's a school teacher and said, oh yeah, I met Alan's future in-laws. They're nice people, but boy, they are filthy. They just let their dog crap all over that house, which
you
of
know,
course
I hate
did
to
not
this.
Happen. Alicia did not do that, but maybe she did. I don't know.
She didn't, but with certain people, probably not her, you could have a place fit for Marie Antoinette. And if the dog took a dump, that is what they're taking away from their visit with you. And I'll give you an example. I had a wonderful vacation with a woman I was dating for a while, and we were in Paris. And we were at a restaurant in Paris at a hotel that was the last French-owned hotel, the Crillon. And it's in a beautiful, beautiful park of Paris near the one of the Impressionist museums. I mean, it's just a fantastic place. And I said, we're going to eat in the hotel tonight because they've got this unbelievable restaurant. So we sit down and the white tablecloth and the waiters are unbelievable. And it's so elegant. And French restaurants, they're never dark. They're always brightly lit and there's flowers everywhere. And it's one of the great moments of my life. And I looked over and a giant rat ran across the floor. I don't remember what I ate. I don't remember what we talked about. I don't remember anything but that rat running across the floor. It is funny how we're that way.
I just have to say, you know, we have kids and pets, and I promise you I cleaned my house before you came over.
Sure.
And I promise you I didn't see that cat puke under the dining room table. That is not how we live. Wait a minute. Wait, that is how we live. What am I saying? That is exactly how we live. Welcome. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome.
It's life. I mean, life is going to throw you that sometimes, and it's almost dark humor, you know?
That's almost why there's no point in getting all stressed out about it, right?
Yeah, yeah. But nonetheless, I want to make sure that the shower is clean. There's some nice soap there. You know, some of the things aren't all that bad. And yet, I still admire a guy who did a post online that I saw the other day. His shower door broke. Evidently, it just came off, and he had to replace it. And he said, I'm struggling right now. This is the best that I can do. And he went to Lowe's and got an aluminum door that you would use as a storm door in the back of the house. And that was his shower door.
An aluminum
back door, and, you know, with the handle. And he had the glass on it, you know, the half glass on the way up. But it was obviously a white door to the deck of a house.
That would make me laugh so much. I love that.
I know. I love the guy.
I'll give you a pro tip. If you want to make your guest room super, super welcoming.
Yeah.
Here's what you do. Because Landon and Allie, leave a package of disposable makeup wipe removers on the bathroom sink and put a phone charger in every room. Or an outlet that has the plug where you can directly charge your phone.
That's because a great idea.
When you forget your phone charger, oh, it's hell. Mm-hmm. But if there's a phone charger in the bedroom waiting for you and a pack of makeup removers,
you're all set.
My daughters would change their last names and never leave. Let me make a note to myself. Tuition is coming due. Send Karamia to Chit Chats. That is it for this episode of the Oddcast. We do new ones every Monday and Friday. If you're having folks come to visit you for the holidays, I hope it's loud and chaotic and crazy and great memories for you and your kids. Our website is bobandsheri.com. We'll see you next time on the Oddcast.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry Podcast and the Bob and Sherry Oddcast. We would love if you would subscribe, rate and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again for listening.